Hanukkah is a holiday fraught with question and mystery. It's the only holiday of the Jewish year whose history is post-prophetic, after the era of the Nevi'im, which means it's also post-biblical in its nature. The holiday is fraught with questions. The Gemara's question, my Chanukah, what is Chanukah? The Beis Yosef's famous question, if the oil was sufficient that they found in the Beis HaMikdash in the Holy Temple, was sufficient for one day, then why do we celebrate 8 days? The miracle was only 7 days. And the Beis Yosef offers three different possibilities, each one bringing forth a whole series of literature from later rabbis, some with questions, some with additional answers. But the Beis Yosef asked the question, again, why do we celebrate 8 days if the miracle, if enough oil was for one day, then there's only 7 days of miracle? And he offers three possibilities. One possibility is that they only added an eighth of the amount that was required each day, and yet each day it burnt the full 24-hour, the full day's amount. This question is challenged by the fact that who says that they're allowed to add an insufficient shear to the menorah? A second teretz is they added a full amount, and that amount only burnt down an eighth each day. It didn't burn as it should have burnt, but it burnt in a miraculous fashion. And a third answer, is that on each day, the entire oil burned, and miraculously, new oil appeared on the next day. This question of Chaim Soloveitchik says, how could they fulfill the mitzvah of lighting the menorah in the Holy Temple, since the requirement is for olive oil, and miraculous oil that appears out of nowhere is not olive oil, but miracle oil. And you can't fulfill the mitzvah except with olive oil, with pure olive oil. Let's go back to the Medrash Rabbah in Breishis. Medrash Rabbah that's mentioned in the beginning of the Maharal Prague's work on Chanukah near mitzvah. And the Medrash Rabbah is speaking about the pasuk and Reb Shimon ben Lakish, the great Amorish, Reb Shimon ben Lakish explains the pasuk concerning the Golios, the exiles of the Jewish people. And the earth was null. Zegolus Bovel. This refers to the exile in Babylonia. As it is said, I saw the earth and it was void. Uvohu zegolus modai. This was the golus of Media, Persia. This is in Esther, vayavhilu, the language of Bohu, lahavias Haman. It's a play on words, really. And they rushed to bring forth Haman. Vechoshech in darkness. Zegolus Yavon. This is the exile of Greece. Shehechshicha einayim shel Yisrael. Because they roseihem, they darken the eyes of the Jewish people with their decrees. Shehoisa omerislem, they would say to them, Kisu al keren hashor, right upon the horn of a bull, she'en lochem chelik belokei Yisrael, that you don't have a portion in the God of Israel. Al penet dahom, on the face of the abyss, zegolus mamleches harishoa, this refers to the golus of Rome, she'en lehem cheke, which seems to have no limits, like the depths, like the abyss, k'mo et dahom. Ma tohoma zein lo cheker, the abyss has no limits. Afur shoim kain, even these evil ones, the Romans, so too their gullah seems to have no end. Ruach lo kimer achefes zeruchos shel Mashiach, melech Mashiach, and the spirit of God was hovering over the water. This refers to the spirit of melech Mashiach, of the Mashiach. Now, this combination that the Greeks Yevonim stood for Choshech, represent darkness, is the essence of the holiday of itself. Again, as I mentioned, the holiday takes place in a time where Nevuah had ended relatively a short time before, within a few centuries. Prophecy had ended, and the Greeks came into the land of Israel, and unfortunately, their influence spread and affected many of the Jews in Israel, who became Mityavnim, became Hellenists, and turned away from the Jewish religion. The Rambam, in his beginning of Hilchos Chanukah, of Laws of Chanukah, expresses the following thought. But by Yesheni, in the Second Temple, Keshemoch Yovan, when Greece ruled, Gozru Gezeros al Yisroel, they made decrees upon Israel, Ubitlu Dosam, they nullified their religion, Vlohinichu Osam Lasok B'Torah B'Mitzvahs, and they didn't permit them to observe Torah, to study Torah, and to observe the mitzvahs. Uposhtu Yodam B'Mamonam, and they spread forth their hands against their money. This might be the background for the reason of Chanukah guilt and Chanukah. Ubno Sehem, and then their daughters, V'nikmasu Lehechel, they came to the Holy Temple, U'pirtsu bo'pirtsos, they made breaches there, V'timu hataros, and they defiled the clean things. V'tzor lehem liyisrael mi'od mipnehem, and it caused great distress, excessively great distress, Israel before them. V'loksum lachatz godol, they gave them great oppression. Ad shirichem aleihem elokei avoseinu, v'hoshiyam mi'odam, until the God of our fathers had compassion upon them and saved them from their hand, and v'hitzilom v'govru b'nei chashmonoi, and the chashmonoim, the priestly family that began the revolution, prevailed, chashmonim ha-kohanim, ha-gadolim, the great kohanim, v'horgum, they killed them, v'hoshiu Yisrael mi'odam, and they saved Israel from their hand, v'hemidu melech min ha-kohanim, and they established a king from the Kohanim, v'chozru malchus Yisrael Yisrael mosayim shanah, and sovereignty returned to Israel for more than 200 years out of Churban Hasheni, until the second Churban. And it's interesting, as the Rambam is well aware, that it was in the later generations of Chashmonoim that actually enabled, brought the Romans into Eretz Yisrael, enabled the Romans to come in, and which led up to the Churban of the Bayis Sheni. Something that's very significant. And it's interesting, too, that whereas the Rambam seems to think that it was a very good thing that the Kohanim had sovereignty and became Melochim for 200 years, the Ramban in Parshas Vayechi disagrees with this and thinks that the Kohanim were at fault. He faults the Kohanim for taking over the rulership, the role of kings, because he felt that lo yosu shivat mi Yehuda, that sovereignty shall never leave Yehuda, that kingship is only for the tribe of Judea. But there are many who say that this was, as the Rambam, was the intention of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that at this point in time, that Kohanim, who were the keepers of Torah for Klal Yisrael, that they should rule. What's interesting to note, however, is that many say, and we'll see this in a Hasidic work called the Bnei Yisoschar, and Rav Chaim Soloveitchik says this too, that Chanukah per se, particularly the miracle of the oil, was not, the burning oil, was not meant as simply a sign of confirmation for that time, but was more as a sign for a future. The Rambam is speaking of a 200-year sovereignty in the course of Jewish history. That's less than 6% of Jewish history. The miracle of the flame was a sign that there would be ultimately a Bayis Shlishi and a Yemos HaMashiach, a second temple, and Yemos HaMashiach. And I'd like to reflect a little bit about the parshios, that the parshios in the Torah that we read when the month of Kislev comes in and through the holiday of Chanukah. You have in the beginning of Kislev, or around the beginning of Kislev, you have parshios Vayetse, where Yaakov Avinu goes to Lavan, leaves Eretz Yisrael, and goes to Lavan. And right in the beginning of that parsha, near the beginning of that parsha, there's the famous incident with the well and the rock on top of the well, which very much indicates or parallels what happened in the time of the Chashmonaim. Listen to this carefully. But this is the language of the Ramban, Nachmanides. Behold, he saw a well in the field, and there were three flocks of sheep crouching by the well. So the Ramban says, Yari chakosuv besiparazeh. The Torah speaks lengthily in terms of this story, lohodienu ki kovei Hashem yachlifu koach, to inform us that those who hope for Hashem will have renewed strength, v'yiroso tite knows. And those who fear, and this fear of God gives strength. Now, those who know the Haftorah of Parshas Lech Lecha know that many read the word there in many Tanakhs. It's written not as kovei, but as koyei. And the Radak gives pshat that koyei is a language of illness, someone who is smitten. But here the Ramban clearly reads it as kovei. It's machlok, it's an argument. Kovei Hashem, those who hope in Hashem, yaklifu koach, because Yaakov, hine Yaakov avinu, bo min ha-derech, v'hu ha-yef. He wasn't smitten with illness, but he was tired. He came from a long trip, and he was tired. And he rolled off alone the stone, which required all of the shepherds, and three flocks of sheep, who had many, many shepherds and guardian. They were crouching there waiting for the rest of the shepherds to come, because they couldn't move the stone at all by themselves. Now this to me seems very clearly a sign, a siman for the future, that Kovei Hashem, even though the Chashmonaim were militarily outnumbered, they didn't have the weapons, didn't have the elephants that the Greeks had and used as tanks. Nevertheless, they had one thing. They were Kovei Hashem. They had trust and hope in Hashem, and it became renewed strength as a result. And the Yiras, so they were Yiras Shemayim, and his fear gives strength. And that's one of the major lessons of the military aspects of Hanukkah. And I mentioned the Beis Yosef's questions before. Some give the answer that indeed the miracle of the Pach Shemen of the cruise of oil was only 7 days, and 1 day is observed because of the military victory, which is a miracle too, although of a lesser dimension in terms of the nature of miracles, because military victories are done in a way of nature. And this miracle was totally miraculous, that oil, which was only sufficient for 1 day, burned for an additional 7 days. And the Ramban continues, Ul Raboseinu in Breishis Rabo, the rabbis in the Medrash Breishis Rabo, there's a secret hint to the future. Because look, Yaakov comes to this well, and he comes in, you know, to love in the Aram Naharayim, and he comes in the direction of the well, just at the time as there were only three flocks of the many flocks from Aram Naharayim that had already come to the well. And he came the time when the stone was on the top of the well, and the flocks were there watching, waiting, and the matter here is told to let us know that Yaakov would be successful in his on his trip and his journey, and he will produce a seed who will be zoche, who will merit this hint, because the hint is the bear, the well, represents the Beis Hamikdash, the Holy Temple, and the three adorim, the three adrisom, the three flocks of sheep, represent the three times a year that the Jewish people went up to the Holy Temple. And from that well, they give water to the flocks. And the Beis HaMikdash, they were, Am Yisroel, the Jewish people, were shovim Ruach HaKodesh. They would soak up Ruach HaKodesh, divine spirit, spiritual inspiration from the Holy Temple. Or what hints that Kimitzion Tetzei Sora, from Zion will go forth Torah, which is compared to water. Udvar Hashem, and the word of God, Mirushalayim. And the flocks gathered there, coming from the Avoch Hamas, and Nachal Mitzrayim, that's Pasuk Melachim, about the Regolim, the Gololu Esu Evin, and they rolled off the stone, the Hishku, and they watered the flocks, because there they were drinking forth Ruach HaKodesh, and they would put on, at the end of the Yom Tov again, this is metaphorically, the stone back on top of the well, Beis HaMikdash, so to speak. They will leave the Beis HaMikdash, leaving it until their next holiday, where they would come up again to experience the Ruach HaKodesh. There is something called the Medrash Chanukah, and the Medrash Chanukah says the following. Bo Yavon HaRashoah, the evil nation of Greece came and they darkened the eyes of the Jewish people, and they said that Kol mi shemazkir shmo shel Kodesh Baruch Hu yidoker becherev, anyone who will mention the name of God will be pierced with the sword. Vaharbi mi Yisrael nefchu leminus, many of the Jewish people were turned to heresy, to the Hellenistic ways. Voyosham mishumet echad b'liyal titni ben pachas shmo. And there was one particular apostate, a very vile human being, whose name was Titni ben Peches ben Pachas, and he would give evil ideas upon Israel to the Greeks. And he said to them, Mitzvah achas yeshlam, there's one particular mitzvah which they have. Shim lo yasu oso yovdu min olam, if they don't do this mitzvah, they'll perish from the world. Vizu had lokas near Beis HaMikdash. This is the lighting of the candle in the Holy Temple. Shnema los near Tomid, to light forever, this candle forever. V'ksiva lov ten chelek l'shiva v'gam l'shmon. It says in Koheles, give a portion to seven and gam to eight, and also to eight, which he interprets to mean ten chelek l'shiva. These are the shiva candles, the shiva cruises of the menorah. Shekol mi shish lo chelek b'sheva neros, shemeiros tomid b'beis hamikdash, which always stay lit in the Beis HaMikdash on a constant basis, not all day and all night, except for the Ner Ma'aravi, for the Western candle. The gam l'shmona yimei achag, and there's 8 days of Sukkot incorporating Shmini Atzeres, ein b'yi yechol lehem. No creature could stand, no nation creature could stand against them. So amdu v'timlu kol ashmanim shebeis hamikdash. So purposely, therefore, the Greeks went and they defiled all the oil in the Beis HaMikdash. That's the Medrash Chanukah. I'd like to work now a little bit with an incredible sefer called the Bnei Yisoschar, which is a Hasidic work from Tzvi Elimelech of Dinover, one of the great Hasidic writers, who wrote on the background of the entire year, and his insights on Chanukah are particularly incredible. Now, you'll recall that the Medrash Rabbah that speaks about the four kingdoms and Yavin being darkness against light, light of the menorah, the Choshech against the light of Torah, and the light of mitzvahs, near mitzvah v'Torah or, the candle represents mitzvah and Torah represents light, is represented by light. So the Bnei Yisoschar, and then the Medrash, I'm sorry, goes on and explains that finally Ruach Elohim Racheves Pleyamoyim is the reference to the Melech HaMashiach, who will come after these four kingdoms. So in the successive parshias, we have the story, first of all, of Yosef. And again, this also relates to Chanukah. Yosef's creed, this is not the Bnei Yisoschar now, Yosef's creed was always, Elohim Yaneh, God will answer Paro. That God is behind everything. Wherever he is, wherever he goes, he attributes his success, he attributes his experience to Elohim, to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to Hashem. And I once heard a beautiful word from Rav Aaron Gelman Zatzal, who pointed out that this was the name Tzofnas Paneach. Paro calls Yosef Tzofnas Paneach. Really, Tzofnas Paneach means the secret of Paneach. And he said, Po comes to the language of Hophia, to appear, which means dynamism, movement, arriving. And Noch is a language of being static, not moving. And Paro wanted to know the secret, the Tzofnas Paneach, how Yosef can become the viceroy of Egypt, can become the leader of the most advanced society of his time, and remain a pious and holy Jew with a firm belief in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, in God. This is what Paro was calling Tzofnas Paneach. And this relates to Chanukah, because after all, the Greeks were expressing in their Hellenism that they were a modern force. They were bringing enlightenment, intelligence, philosophy, and the secrets and the miracles of the Beis HaMikdash offended their philosophical enlightenment. They believed in a God, but a God who created a world on a constant basis. In other words, there was no beginning to creation, but the world was always there. Against the teachings of Judaism, we speak about a God who began creation in Maisa Breshis, at a moment in time, and is involved and who is involved with the world. And the Greeks were offended by this belief and attacked it very, very vigorously. So later on, this is the Bnei Yisrael now, he points out that Yaakov Avinu sent Yehuda. Remember, the Gemara in Sukkah mentions the two Mashiachs. There's Mashiach ben Yosef, who comes before Mashiach ben David, who is Mashiach, represents the lineage of Yehuda. And you have here, when they go down in Parshas Vayigash, when they were going down to Mitzrayim, that Yaakov sends Yehuda, Goshna, to Goshen, in order to meet Yosef there. And Chazal tell us to found the first yeshiva in Mitzrayim. The Jewish survival, first of all, is predicated upon the existence of Torah institutions. So Goshna, he points out, is the stands for Guf, Nefesh, Seichel, and Hakol. That in Mitzrayim was the beginning of and the seed of all those four other Golius mentioned in that Medrash Rabbah. That the Maharal in Prague quotes Medrash Rabbah in Breishis, that the Babylonians, the Bavlim, went against the Beis HaMikdash, the Nefesh of the Jewish people, the spiritual source of the Jewish people. The Medians, the Persians, the time of Haman and Achashveros, they went there for the Gufos. They wanted to kill them, wipe them out. Nefesh, Guf, Seichel. The Yevonim went after the Seichel of Am Yisrael. They wanted to show their rationality, their philosophy was superior. They were out against the Seichel, and the Roman Golus, which was the worst, as it says, Tahom Ein Lo Cheker, has no limits both in terms of time and dimension, that the Golus Romi was attacking everything. It attacked the Nefesh, they destroyed the Beis HaMikdash, as Nebuchadnezzar, the Babylonian, did. They attacked, they killed the Jews, they attacked their bodies, they murdered Jews. They attacked the institutions of Torah, for Beit Torah and mitzvahs. They endeavored Hakol. So the words Goshna stand for Hakol, Guf, Nefesh, and Seichel. And this Goshna also, the gematria of Goshna is 358. Which is also the gematria of Mashiach, which is also the gematria of Nochash, the primeval snake, the Nochash, the Satan. And the Nochash is also 358, which is the, so to speak, the enemy of salvation, beginning of doom to mankind, whereas Mashiach stands for the salvation of mankind. And 358 is also the gematria of Hashem Melech, Hashem Moloch, Hashem Yimloch, without a Vav and Yimloch, is also 358, which will take place that Hashem will have his total rulership of the world at the time of Mashiach. So he develops this theme, and he said that's the origin of the custom of the dreidel. The dreidel originally was wood, and not that it stands for Neis Gadol Hoyosham, but it stands for the four types of Golias. Nefesh, Guf, Seichel, Hakol, and it spins on a pivot. The pivot stands for Klal Yisrael, and when it spins, the four letters disappear into a blur. They disappear. So Yaakov sent Yehuda to one Mashiach to meet Yosef, the progenitor of a second Mashiach, Mashiach ben Yosef, to meet together in Goshna, which is the gematria of Mashiach, to set up Torah institutions, and this is the beginning already of this period of the beginning of movement towards Geula. All Jewish history is a movement towards Geula. And he sees incredible things in his work on Hanukkah. For instance, he brings down, many of them are eclectic from other sources, that the 36 Mesechtes of the Babylonian Talmud that we have stand are parallel to the 36 candles that are lit during the 8 days of Hanukkah. He also happens to mention, and it's an incredible insight, that when it mentions beginning of the Gula of redemption in Mitzrayim, it happens to mention that Moshe went Acher Hamidbar. He took the flocks of sheep. Moshe Yeroes Esatzon, Veinahagis Esatzon Acher Hamidbar, and he led the flocks after the wilderness. So this is an incredible insight that how a person can see this is just mind-boggling. He says, Achra Midbar means after the Midbar. If you take the letters of Midbar and you take one letter that follows them successively in the alphabet, for instance, Mem is followed by Nun, Dalet by Hey, Beis by Gimel, and Resh by Shin, then you have the letters of Goshna. Achra HaMidbar. He took them Achra Midbar again with this notion of Goshna, the gematria, you know, in this concealed, very concealed fashion, the gematria again of Mashiach, Vashem Melech, Hashem Moloch, Hashem Yimloch Lamboed. He also brings down from the Rokeach, who's a Rishon, that the notion of Chanukah is a language of Chinuch, that what Chanukah is preparing us for is a Chinuch for the ultimate Geula. Not a miracle in and of itself, but an education for the Geula Ho'asidah, the future redemption of mankind. And he mentions too, in the name of the Rokeach, that the reason why there are 8 days, again, an answer to the Beis Yosef, before the Beis Yosef's time, was that when the Chazal instituted the holiday of Chanukah, they had to look for some type of holiday from the Torah to base it upon, make it parallel to. And they made it parallel to Sukkos, the 8 days of Sukkos. There's an also, I think the Rokeach also mentions, Yisachar doesn't mention it here, but I think he also mentions the possibility that there are 8 days because of Bris Mila. Bris Mila was one of the main things that the Yevonim fought against. And here, again, Bris Mila takes place on the 8th day. So the B'nai Yisachar is filled with incredible insights into the nature of Chanukah. One insight he makes, very, very beautiful insight, the halacha is, we're very strict with Chanukah candles, but the halacha is, if the Chanukah candle is placed in the correct place, then im kopso, if it should be extinguished, lo en zokuk lo. A person is not obligated to relight it. If you lit it in a place without wind, with enough oil and the like, and somehow or other it was extinguished, he's not obligated. Yes, why not? And he says the answer is because Chanukah stands for Torah and the salvation of Torah. And it's to teach us the fact that in Torah also, that if a person tries his best and he works at learning, even if it's in kopsa, it goes out, something's wrong with his learning, he doesn't really get the MS, nevertheless, he still gets the reward. It's in zokuk law, that a person who doesn't, you know, that's why in the Gemara you have arguments, and this one is right, this one, the halach is like this one, and not like that one. But there's reward for each of the participants in the argument. The question comes up also that in the Alanisim, which we say in the Shmona Esrei's, there's really no direct reference to the nace of the Pach Shemen. It's more of the oil. Rather, it's speaking more of the miracle, the victories of war, with maybe perhaps a little slight reference at the end. V'tiruus mikdoshecha, they purified your holy temple. V'hiliku neros b'chatzos kodshecha, they lit candles in your holy courtyard. But doesn't mention anything about the nace of the Pach Shemen. And he instituted 8 days of Chanukah, lehodos lahalel l'shimcha hagadol, to give praise and glory to your great name. And I want to offer a possibility that the Alanisim finds itself in the Shmon Esrei in the Hodoya, which begins with Modim. And in Modim Anach Deloch, we're not speaking about great miracles here, but the miracle of life itself. Tzur Chayenu, Mogen Yishenu, you are the rock of our lives. the shield of our salvation in any of your generation. We'll give thanks to you and relate your praises on our lives that are given into your hand and our souls that are deposited with you and on your miracles, shebechol yom imanu, on your daily miracles with us. What are these daily miracles? The daily miracles are the miracles that we take for granted. Every breath of air that we take, every moment that we're well, that we're safe from disease, when a child is born and grows and develops, these are incredible miracles. And there's a beautiful Ramban in Parshas, at the end of Parshas Bowen on Kadesh, and he explains why the reminder, the Zeichel Letzias Mitzrayim is a cornerstone behind so many mitzvahs. At the end, the Ramban makes the following statement. Umin hanisim hagadolim hamufursomim. From miracles that are great and well-publicized, which he means countermand nature, we call nisim gluim. Adam mode ben nisim hanistorim. A person comes to admit and acknowledge the hidden miracles. Shehem yesod ha-Torah kula, which are the foundation of the Torah in its entirety. Shein lo'odim chelik b'toris Moshe Rabbeinu. A person doesn't have a share, a portion, in the Torah of Moshe, our teacher. Ad shenamin b'chol devarenu u'mikrenu. Until we believe that everything that affects us, all our daily occurrences, shekulam nisim, that all of them are miraculous. Ein bohem teva u'minag shel olam. They are not the nature and the conduct of the world. Bein b'rabim, bein b'yachid, whether in the multitude or whether regarding the individual. L'miyase ha-mitzvos yatzlichenu. If a person keeps the mitzvahs, ultimately they'll have success. Yatzlichenu scharo, with this reward. V'miyavur aleihem yachrisenu ancho. And if he transgresses them, ultimately his punishment will harm him. I want to conclude. We're saying then, and Chaim Soloveitchik says it too, that Hanukkah is an affirmation, first of all, of the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is with us and will be with us. And ultimately, more so, just as there were miracles in the time of the Chashmonoim, there'll be an ultimate Geula Asida, that after the four Malchios, there'll be the Melech Mashiach, there'll be a peace and a salvation for all of mankind. The Rambam concludes at the end of Hilchos Megil v'Chanukah, the last halacha. Hayu lefonav near beso v'near Chanukah. A person had before him a ner for his house or a ner for Chanukah. Only one candle, enough light for his house to keep his house safe that they could see in the dark, or for ner of Chanukah, or near beso v'kiddush hayom, or a ner for his house, or he can buy with the money for the ner instead. He's pour wine for Kiddush Hayom. The light for his house, the oil for lighting his house, has precedence. Mishum Sholom Beso. Because of Sholom Beso. Peace in his house. That's why it was instituted, lighting Shabbos Lich. Shori Hashem Nimchach Laso Sholom Bin Ish Lishto. God's name is erased in the Parsha of Sota, so that there should be peace between a man and his wife. And the Rambam concludes, Godol HaSholem, greatest peace. Shekol HaTorah Nitno Laso Sholem Ba'olam. The whole reason why the Torah was given was to bring peace to the entire world. Im Yirtzeh Hashem, may we be merit through the lighting of our Chanukah candles and the observance of Chanukah as it's been observed throughout the generations, being an inspiration to Am Yisrael constantly in the darkest of times, that the light of Chanukah and the light of Torah will shine forth. We will merit to see a time of peace when the Mashiach, when we rise Goshna, and where Hashem Melech, Hashem is King, Hashem Moloch, Hashem Yimloch, and Hashem will rule forever, and all mankind will be blessed with eternal peace and tranquility. Happy Chanukah.